From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch, day 25 of the government shutdown. And are we closer to seeing a resolution? Well, not if Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer won't yield to the president's insistence on border security. In fact, Democrats boycotting a meeting at the White House with the president on border security earlier today. Also on a conference call this afternoon with conservative leaders, the president said he would not back up or give up on his demand to address the humanitarian crisis on our southern border. So stay tuned. In other news, 35 senators have co-sponsored Senate Bill 109, known as the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion and Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act of 2019. The measure would establish a permanent government-wide prohibition of taxpayer funding for abortion. Now, similar policies such as the Hyde Amendment currently requires annual passage. It's called a pro-life rider, so it's put onto appropriations bills. But the Hyde Amendment does not apply to Obamacare. Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi will join me with details of Senate Bill 109. And China, ever the bad actor, has stepped up their religious intolerance, cracking down even harder on Christians and other religious minorities. Bob Fu of China Aid joins me in studio with the latest from China. And here's a good one. Thanks to the atheist group Freedom From Religion Foundation, public schools that take their students to the Ark Encounter, which is outside of Cincinnati, right in Kentucky, well, they can get free admission. That's right. Atheists are responsible for free passage on the Ark. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis explains. And we'll be taking your phone calls a little later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, still, it's at T. Perkins. All right. Republican Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi joined Senators Pat Roberts of Kansas and James Lankford of Oklahoma to introduce the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion and Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act of 2019. Now, the measure would establish a permanent, as I mentioned, government-wide prohibition on taxpayer funding for abortion. Now, many people are familiar with the Hyde Amendment. Now, that's a rider, it's a pro-life rider, put on the appropriations bill every year. It has to be enacted every year. Well, just to get a sense of where the American people stood on this, right after the election this past November, FRC commissioned a poll that asked this question. It says, a federal law passed each year by Congress since 1976 says federal funds may not be used to pay for abortions or pay for health care plans that include abortion coverage except in the cases of the life of the mother or in the cases of rape or incest. Some lawmakers are proposing to repeal this law, which would result in taxpayer funding for all abortions. The question then was, do you think this federal law should be repealed or not? Well, here are the results. 28% said it should be repealed. 56% said it should not be repealed. 15% did not know what they thought. Well, the poll, by the way, was conducted by the McLaughlin Group. Joining me now to talk about Senate Bill 109, the effort to make this a permanent policy of the United States government not to fund abortion, is the author of the bill, Senator Roger Wicker. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you very much. It sounds like you've got a good program lined up.
Well, we try to have one every day. And, of course, you're our start-off hitter here. And being that this is the week of the March for Life, a week from today actually being the anniversary, 46th anniversary of Roe v. Wade,
right.
You're leading the charge there in the Senate to ensure what the vast majority of Americans want, and that is not to be drawn into being forced to pay for abortion.
Right, absolutely. And I've got good news since your update at the top of the hour. It's no longer 35 senators. It's 40 senators now have signed on to Senate 109, the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion bill. I was just on the Senate floor for another vote and signed a cloture petition that Senator McConnell, the leader, is getting together to at least make sure that we will have a vote on this, hopefully to coincide with the March for Life. next week.
So we'll be looking at a vote this coming week.
I certainly hope so. That, you know, there are questions with the shutdown and a scheduled congressional break, but we're going to have a timely vote. And you're right about the poll there. That hasn't always been the case. I think we're winning this argument year by year, step by step. And, you know, for many of us, the realization came early on in this process, right after Roe versus Wade, that this was just an outrage. And certainly it goes beyond the pale to take your tax dollar, Tony Perkins, and my tax dollar, Roger Wicker, and spend it on something that we are so adamantly opposed to. But as science progresses, as more and more sonograms appear on refrigerators around this country, that's the first picture of a baby now. Not when the baby's born, but
I've had many of them.
That first scan, and it's a wonderful thing for a couple to see, or me. Now I'm in the grandparent stage of life. There's more and more of an acknowledgement among the general public that abortion is the killing of a human being and the taking of an innocent human life. So we're at 40 now. We would have a huge hill to climb in Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives. Elections have consequences. But what we are going to do is put all the senators on record once again. So all of your listeners out there, whether they're from Nevada or New York State or the state of Washington down to the tip of Florida, they'll see how their senators stand on this issue.
And this is, as you said, technology and the advancement in technology have advanced the argument for the sanctity of human life. As you said, you know, pictures, the first pictures are often now sonograms that
that's a little baby
on refrigerators.
Yeah,
it is. And so that understanding of that life has grown. And with that has been an understanding that this wholesale abortion there's something wrong with that. And then to be forced into providing for it when you have moral objections to it is just more than a majority of Americans can tolerate. But your bill does more than just address the issue of the Hyde Amendment, making that universal across the federal government. It also provides transparency. It's very interesting in how the abortion promoters want to hide it. So that you don't know it's there. Tell us about the other provisions.
That's right. I've called it the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act for as long as I've been doing this. The other part of it, as you said, was Abortion Insurance Full Disclosure Act. It's a mouthful to say the whole thing. But basically, we don't want one penny of taxpayer dollars spent for the destruction of innocent human life. And we want to therefore prohibit funding for health benefits that go to paying for abortions. We want to make sure that abortion is not deductible for tax purposes. We want to make sure that that in this Obamacare law that's regrettably still on the books, that there are no governments provided in the form of tax credits or in any sort of backdoor hidden financial support for performing this this heinous procedure, and so the legislation has expanded and improved over time. We're wanting to make permanent the Hyde language, and we're wanting to tighten it up on a permanent basis.
Well, and I think now is the time to do it. As you said, a big hill in the House now under Nancy Pelosi. But you know, look, I think it's right to move it through the Senate, put people on record. I do think this is a factor that people consider when they vote. Again, some people may not, you know, necessarily be where I am on the issue of abortion, believing that all human life is created in the image of God, therefore it should be protected. But still, most have hesitations about it and don't want to be forced to pay for it. And that's what this bill is about.
Well, Well, we've got a lot of support there. I don't think this bill will be signed into law anytime soon because it'll have such a problem in the House. But what we do have in the Senate right now is a leader in the form of Mitch McConnell who is pro-life, and he was passing around the cloture petition just a few moments ago, and I was happy to sign it. So we're going to get a vote, and as long as we have this current leadership, we're going to continue to put senators on record so yeah. that all of your thousands and thousands of listeners out there can know where their elected senators stand on this issue.
Well, Senator Roger Wicker, we appreciate your leadership on this. Appreciate you coming on today. Any late breaking news on the government shutdown? Are we any closer to coming to an agreement? How about
I don't know that we're any closer. I know that Lindsey Graham is passing around a letter that he hopes to get 20 Republicans and 20 Democrats to sign, asking the president to reopen the government for 3 weeks. And with the assurance that those 40 signatories will take up the president's request in regular order.
Any chance
about that? But that's the latest that I've seen.
So you haven't had a chance to pull Chuck Schumer aside and talk some sense into him?
He's not. I'm not one of the people that he really relies on for advice.
Well, I tell you what, if you take him to lunch, I'll pay for it if you can talk some sense into him.
All right,
Senator Wicker, thanks so much.
I really do, but he's playing hardball politics on this.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that our president is playing hardball as well and not caving, but standing firm on the things that he says are important. And I think the vast majority of Americans believe are important, and that's our national security and this humanitarian crisis on the border.
Well, and there are a lot of people that have worked real hard on this. Maybe this particular approach by Lindsey Graham and some Democrats to get this done during the regular process will work.
All right. Well, tell Lindsey to give me a call. We'll have him come on and talk about it.
All right, Senator. Very eager to talk about this.
All right. Good to talk with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tony.
All right, Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi leading the charge on Senate Bill 109, the no taxpayer funding of abortion bill. And by the way, this is a great opportunity to contact your senator and encourage them to sign on if they're not one of the 40. Call the Senate switchboard. I'll have that number for you in a minute. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Coming up next, I'll talk with Bob Fu, founder and president of China Aid, about the shocking increase in the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities in China by the communists. This is, it's troubling. And America can do something about it. We're going to talk about that with Bob Fu on the other side of the break. Don't go away. More to come on this edition of Washington Watch. Ken Ham will be joining us a little bit later, and your phone calls, all in this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right. As you know, religious liberty is a big issue here. This week, actually being the focus on domestic religious liberty, but you cannot look at religious liberty here in the country without looking out across around the globe and the state of religious liberty. Because if we neglect religious freedom here at home, look, it goes south around the world. And that's what we're dealing with now after 8 years of the Obama administration that had religious freedom here in America in its crosshairs. It gave a green light to tyrants and terrorists elsewhere to target Christians and people of faith. Well, joining me now is Bob Fu, the head of China Aid, who is focused like a laser on what's happening in China, where things are getting bad. In fact, Bob has said he hasn't seen anything like this since the Cultural Revolution there in China. Bob, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for having me.
I mean, just this week, new reports of Christians being, the target of a crackdown by the Chinese government.
Yes, I mean, the situation against Christians by the current communist regime has really been the worst since the beginning of Cultural Revolution in 1960s. We have seen, perhaps in 2018, estimated of over 100,000 Christians were being incarcerated, detained. You know, most of them short term, but some are even sentenced to, 12 years, 14 years imprisonment for simply being a Christian leader.
But we've seen that over the years, but it's reached a new level to where some churches that have been operating, without the government harassment for some time are now coming under the thumb of government. So it's like no one is safe in China.
That's right. The persecution not only extend to Christians and not only actually to the independent house church, Christians, but also to the government-sanctioned churches.
Right, right. The ones that thought they were in the clear.
Registered, protected by the government, supposedly. And now all of a sudden, thousands of these churches were shut down. Of course, we have, the crosses of the church building were forcefully demolished and burnt. But also the persecution extended to many other people of faith, like the you know.
Yeah, I want to get with that to that because the Uyghur Muslims have been a big target, and they've got a big PR mess on their hands. But before I get to that, we're seeing, though, many of these Christian pastors who are standing up against the Chinese government. A statement was released a couple of months ago with the signatures of these pastors. It appears that there is a resolve among these Christian pastors and leaders in China to stand up against the Chinese government. Not an easy thing to do. Is that in part because they feel like they have maybe a friend here in America with this new administration?
That's certainly, you know, the Communist Party's calculation. I mean, the Chinese authorities even telling their surrogates in the U.S. that, oh, come to negotiation with ours, with this Chinese, you know, famous pastor's name under their arrest or mentioned. So right. We can talk about this. So, you know, one of the leaders who mobilized the signature campaign, you know, for that statement to stand up for the, you know, for the persecuted brothers and sisters was Pastor Wang Yi, who is the former legal scholar and turned to be a church pastor. He was arrested in December the 9th, along with over 160 of members of his church. And his wife and himself, along with 20 others, are now being under criminal detention since December. Then they were charged with inciting the subversion of state power. It's like treason.
Right.
Subject for up to 15 years sentence. So we're seeing that every week. I mean, in fact, just the past week, on Sunday, another 11 members of the church were arrested, and plus children from 2 to 7 years old
wow.
were all detained for attending a Sunday worship service in their homes.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Bob Fu with China Aid, my guest, talking about what's happening in China right now. One of the minority religious groups that's been targeted is the Uyghur Muslims. They're the ones that have been placed in these concentration camps, mm-hmm. estimated to be upwards of 1 million or more. This is one of the things that China is actually running into a problem with, because the media over here is more sympathetic to non-Christian religions, and so this has become an issue with them, and they're scurrying to get release their PR teams here in the United States to try to help them out of this mess.
Yes, I mean, the 1 million Uyghur Muslims are in the, I call it the 21st century concentration camp. I mean, I think the only thing left is a final solution and gas chamber. The Chinese Communist Party is indeed engaging in ethnic cleansing, you know, at minimum. So those Uyghur Muslims are put in these concentration camps, you know, in the name of so-called vocational skill training.
Right.
You know,
trying to re-educate them,
they
brainwash them.
Not allowed to speak even in their own language.
Separating and, families.
Yeah, separate the family. They put the Communist Party even set up state-owned orphanages to kind of for these children to be re-educated in the Chinese language.
Almost out of time here. Very quickly, what can our government do?
I think our government can really do a lot to help. And the number one issue is, I think, to make the Communist Party really move is to re-engage the trade talks with the human rights religious freedom issue.
Connecting the two, very
yeah,
important.
Connecting the two.
Trade policy, human rights, religious freedom.
So how can you
issues.
Engage with a partner that are committing such a, you know, grieve of human rights violations.
If there was ever an administration that would do it, I think this one will. Bob Fu, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all the work that you and China Aid do on behalf of persecuted believers.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for your prayers.
All right, folks, don't go away. Coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. By the way, tomorrow, big program. Tomorrow's the National Religious Freedom Day. And we're going to do a special webcast. It will be simulcasting the program so you can see it and watch it. And we'll be focused on the issue of religious liberty. Congressman Mike Johnson, chairman of the House Republican Study Committee, who is also a constitutional lawyer, you're going to join us, talk about domestic religious liberty. Oz Guinness is going to be talking with us as well. We're going to be looking at international religious liberty, as we just were with Bob Fu, and how those all work together. So that's tomorrow here on Washington Watch. You don't want to miss it. By the way, here's the phone number for the Senate switchboard, 202-225-3121. If you want to give them a call about the no taxpayer funding of abortion, that's Senate Bill 109 that we were talking about earlier. So much to cover. All right, last June, we broadcasted Washington Watch from the Ark Encounter located in Kentucky, just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, the Ark Encounter is an exact replica of Noah's Ark according to God's blueprints and specifications, which, by the way, are in the Bible. Now, this was built by Answers in Genesis, in northern Kentucky. 7,000 to 8,000 or more people visit the Ark Encounter every day. It's outstanding. I mean, it really is. It is well done. It is worth the trip. Well, it's being targeted by atheist groups for, quote, religious myths and proselytizing. Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, based in Wisconsin, they're always harassing people. They sent a letter to 1,000 public school districts across America warning the administrators not to take field trips to the Ark Encounter. But Ken Ham, our good friend there at Answers in Genesis, the visionary behind building the replica of Noah's Ark, has used what I call a political jiu-jitsu move. He's now offering these schools to bring their students free of charge to the Ark. So you could say that the atheists are providing free passage to kids to come on to the Ark. Joining us now is Ken Han. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Great to be with you again.
So this has got to be sending the atheists crazy because of their trying to stop students from coming. You've reached out to those school districts and said, you bring your kids as a school, you get free admission.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which are basically a group of atheists, did this in 2016, and they did it again just recently this month, sending a letter, as you said, to 1,000 public schools in 5 states, warning them, if you bring your students on a field trip to the Ark Encounter, that's against the First Amendment, and you know, it's erroneous legal advice that they're giving them. And actually, you know, what the group does, and as you know, and you alluded to that, they bully, they threaten, they use fear-mongering, they use scare tactics, empty threats, strong-arming, and so on, because they do their best to try to actually undermine religious liberty in this nation and to undermine the First Amendment, because they want to push their atheism on people. They're against anything religious or Christian. And so tomorrow morning, actually, our letter goes out to all the public schools. I already put this on social media, on my Facebook and Twitter, and there's already been a number of media reports about it as well. And so a lot of schools already know, but we're sending out a letter to all those school districts of those 1,000 schools in the 5 states and telling them that if they want to bring their students on a field trip to the Ark Encounter, they can do that. They can legally do it as long as the teachers aren't telling them, you have to believe this. If it's being done to actually introduce students to other perspectives about science and history outside the context of their classroom and exposing students to a different perspective, that's valid. And I mean, there is no Supreme Court case, there is no court case dealing with field trips saying that you can't take students to such a facility. So we're saying you can bring them, and it's going to be totally free because of the atheists and their bullying of these school districts. We're offering totally free to any officially organized school trip by public schools of the students and the teachers that come with them. We're not going to charge them admission. We want to do this because we want to stand up for religious liberty in this nation, and we're encouraging school districts and superintendents and principals, be courageous, be bold. You're totally within your rights. You're totally within the law and in accord with the Constitution to allow students to go on a field trip to the Ark Encounter to see what they believe and what they're saying, and as an educational experience.
Now, I think, Ken, you're offering even more, that if they're legally challenged, these schools, if they bring students, you let them in, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which their bark is much louder than their bite, if they do attack, you're going to stand with them.
Absolutely. We have an attorney ready to help them. Nate Cullum from the Center for Religious Expression is ready to help them defend their position.
Well, let me say, I've been there. It is a great experience, and I would encourage educators, just for the educational opportunity, to come to see the Ark Encounter. Ken, out of time, thanks for joining us, and thanks once again for standing up.
Thank you.
All right, Ken Ham with Answers in Genesis, the Ark Encounter, right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, in northern Kentucky. It is worth the trip. So if you drive the atheist crazy, organize a trip to go see the Ark Encounter. I like it. All right, when we come back, we're taking your phone calls. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right, the phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We can talk about any of the topics we discussed today. I kind of like the last topic with Ken Ham. We had Bill yesterday that called in. Talking about these college campuses that we were talking about the snowflake security force. You know, if there was any bias or intolerance where you could call and, they would come and in their converted bread wagon and, hop out with their task force and drag the students in for interrogation. That what students ought to do is complain about the leftist. And what they do as being offensive and intolerant and, just overwhelm them. I like that thinking. And I think what Ken Ham is doing there is engaging these atheists. See, too often we just feel like, look, it's just a little lapdog and it's just yapping. And if we just let it go, it'll go away. Well, they don't. And they just continue. And they, it's like you never... If you've ever – I run. I'm a runner. Not so much – I've taken up cycling. But when you get approached by a dog, the thing is you always turn and face the dog. You stare at it. You don't want to keep running from the dog because the dog thinks you're actually running from it as opposed to the fact that you're just out getting exercise. Well, if we just kind of go on and ignore these atheists who are yapping and barking and, nipping at our heels, they'll think that they're causing us to run when we're actually just getting exercise. You turn and stare. You face them down in a Christ-like manner. But what I think Ken is doing is saying, hey, look, all right, this is what you want to do. Well, we're going to offer to all public schools in this five-state region, you organize an official trip, you bring your students, it's free. Teachers get in free. And if this group in Wisconsin wants to challenge you, we have a public interest law firm that will defend you free of charge. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to engage. We've got to stand up and defend religious freedom, defend our rights in the public square. And I applaud Ken Ham for doing that. So if you're involved with a public school in the area, the five states around Kentucky there that are being threatened by the Freedom from Religion Foundation, organize a trip to the Ark Encounter. It really is good. You will enjoy it. And they have a petting zoo and all this other stuff around it. It's really, really well done. They did a great job. All right, before we go to the phone lines starting to light up, 866-372-7234. Do you think what Ken is doing is a good approach? Do you think it's time we engage those that want to drive faith from the public square? 866-372-7234. All right, coming up, I don't always do this, but I got a special event coming up this weekend in New Orleans. I'm involved with the Pelican. It's actually the first annual Pelican Prayer Breakfast. Michelle Bachman's going to be the keynote speaker. I'll be the MC of the event. It's at 7:30 Saturday morning. If there's not something up on my website, I think it is. Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can find out more information about the prayer breakfast. Starts at 7:30, goes till 9 o'clock. It's at the Pontchartrain Center right there in Metairie, right? It's in the New Orleans area. Following the breakfast, we will be having, from 9:30 to 11:30, our Culture Impact Ministry will be doing a training session there. And so it's free. You can come and be a part of that if you've got someone in your church or you have a passion of leading a culture impact team in your church. That's the ones that help folks get registered to vote, keep them informed of the issues, kind of the eyes and ears of the church when it comes to what's happening in the culture. Find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and join us Saturday morning at the Pontchartrain Center right there in the greater New Orleans area. And be a part of that event. Again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Helen in Victoria, Texas. Helen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. I just love the way you talk, the way you lay it on the line, because you think just exactly the way I've been preached for a long time, and I've been around a long time.
Well, I appreciate that, Helen. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, I have it's blowing my mind, not real literally. Since 2009, I call them the lying communist Democrats, which they are. They've been wanting a wall. We got to build a wall. We got to build a wall. And now President Trump promised it, and they said, you ain't getting a wall. Well, I wish they'd make up their cotton-picking mind. You know, as Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. And if we don't stand up against those Democrats, we're going to lose big time.
Well, and I think what's happened is we have a president now who is willing to stand up, and he's calling them out, and you're right. I mean, when you look at the fact that many of these policies they have supported before, and the media has treated – I mean, you look at the some of the things that the president has done, like sending the military in a support role to the border. Barack Obama did that. Did they pitch a fit the way they did with President Trump? No. The detentions at the border, the big deal they made over what the Trump administration did the Obama administration did the same thing? Did they make a big issue about it? No. There's no question there's a double standard here. But this president, as I said, I was on a conference call with the president and conservative leaders this afternoon, and he's made very clear he's not backing up. He's not giving up. He is going to hold his ground. And I hope there's a resolution soon. I really do. But I'm glad he is standing firm. Helen, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Sam in Arkansas. Sam, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you, Tony?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'm a public school teacher in Arkansas, and a few years ago, Arkansas passed a state law allowing for an academic study of the Bible. And mm-hmm. our school district created a course. I actually wrote the curriculum, got that approved through the State Department of Education. And we teach a course now that looks at the Bible as a way of teaching sociology, geography, government, all these kinds of things, really from a social science perspective. And I took, in early December, I took a group of students to the Ark. We had already gone through the flood story and done some things with it, compared biblical text to like movie renditions of the flood story. And then it was incredible to go to the Ark and actually let the students, you know, lay eyes on what that could have looked like. And I mean, it was just, it was awe-inspiring and it was eye-opening for my students to see that, you know, hey, you know, maybe this isn't all this, you know, mythological fiction that I've been told it is.
How did the students like it?
Oh, they loved it. I have in that class, I mean, it's a good mix of believers and non-believers, skeptics, and, you know, everybody walked away just really impressed with not only, you know, if you go in, you know, there are places throughout the Ark where, you know, they explain things like why the fossil record shows what it does in relation to, you know, how the flood occurred. And so, I mean, it was incredible. It was eye-opening for the students. And there were a couple on the trip that were like, Mr. Kelly, I can't believe, you know, I didn't really think this trip was going to be that fun. Now, you know, being from Arkansas, it was about a 7.5-8 hour drive for us, and we made it an overnight trip, and we did it on a school bus. So, you know, for them, you know, the trip itself, you know, what happened at the Ark, what they saw, more than outweighed the uncomfort, basically, from 7.5 hours one day on a bus to turn around and drive back the next day on a bus. So.
Yeah, that's a challenge, but it is very well done. It's professional. It is it's top of the notch. The technology that's in it, the displays that are in it, and you know, Sam, I appreciate you calling in and sharing this because I think we have to come to a point where look, we teach they're taught in the schools evolutionary theory. They're taught all these other theories. This is a key part of Western civilization. Why should they not be exposed to it? They're not forced to believe it, not forced to embrace it or sign some kind of statement. But what's wrong with them just seeing it?
Arguments that I end up having many, many, many times is like for an educator, you know, we actually do have rights in the classroom. We don't necessarily lose our First Amendment rights. And so for those who are believers in a public forum like this, what we have to understand is that, yes, our school districts may write the paycheck, but it is not the school district nor the state that provides for us. And once we recognize that, it makes it a whole lot easier to take a step of faith and do what we know is right. And, you know, we say let the chips fall as they may, but I just have this belief that, you know, if I were to lose my job over something like this, well, I'm still going to be provided for, and good's going to come of it. So we just need to be less fearful, be bold, do what we know we're supposed to do. I mean, we don't have to violate laws to do that. I mean, the Constitution has given us protections, and there are plenty of folks, Alliance Defending Freedom, the ACOJ, there are all kinds of folks who are out there willing to step up and go to bat for you if something comes of it. So.
Well said, Sam. Well said. Thanks so much for calling in, and appreciate you listening to Washington Watch and being an example in the classroom. You know, great. I love the way you said it. You know, we may get our paycheck from the school. They may sign the paycheck, but they don't provide for us. And I think that's the way we all need to look at this. And we gotta live beyond the employer that we live for and realize that we do all things. Whatever you do, eat or drink, do unto the glory of God. And it took me a while to learn this, but God's economy is bigger than the company you work for or the organization that employs you. God is faithful to those who will walk in faith with him. And that oftentimes, not everybody experiences, but you will have those moments of testing where you really have to decide, you know, are you going to... I know it's not like the Shadrach, Meshach, and where they had to bow down to an idol. We don't necessarily bow down to an idol, but we surrender and yield to some of the idols of this world, of our day. Because that furnace is hot. The trials are difficult, the challenges. We think about, well, we got a mortgage payment, we got a car payment, we got kids we got to put through college. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it. God is faithful. And I don't say that lightly. I've experienced it. I've lost positions because I refused to compromise a very fundamental issue. I don't, if some people find this hard to believe, but I am not one that really likes conflict. I don't. But I can't run from that which is wrong. And I believe that's where God has called us to be. We're not to be looking for trouble. We're not to walk around with the Jesus chip on our shoulder. But we should not run when we know the truth. And our failure to stand for that truth will result in many people not hearing the truth. Like Sam was talking about, look, we've got teachers in classrooms across America, and I am so thankful we have Christian teachers that are going into classrooms, and I encourage young people to consider teaching as a profession, Christian kids, to consider teaching as a profession, if that's what God's called you to. Consider it as a mission field. Now, I have a different view about us putting our kids into the public schools, but I do believe as Christians we should. Christian schools are the schools of America, but we should go in and be bold, operating within the confines of the law. But when you see these groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation and others, they distort what the law actually says. And because Christians, too many Christians seem to be timid, we shrink back and we don't use our freedoms. And as a result, not only do we lose them, but others lose as well. We need to stand up for the truth, for it is the truth that makes us free. So be bold, be courageous. Don't shrink back in the intimidation of those that want to take away our most fundamental, precious freedoms. All right, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time here, so we're not going to be able to get to the rest of the calls on the line. Let me remind you, tomorrow, special edition of Washington Watch, National Religious Freedom Day. We're going to have a great lineup. It's going to be webcasted. You can go to TonyPerkins.com or tune into your regular station. Share this. This is going to be good information on why we must stand for this first freedom, the freedom of religion. All right, folks, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.